All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to another Wednesday episode of the Larry, Sean, and Joe Show, otherwise known as the Tax Town Hall. We're really grateful that you're joining us and people kind of start to file in. We have, looks like about 9 people with us live, and more will join us as we go along. Let's start with our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Larry, what comes after that?
Well, I thought you Catholics would say something about that.
Oh, go ahead. Take a shot.
Right. Look, Trump made Pelosi tried to claim a defense this week. I'm a Catholic, so.
Oh boy!
But hey, did you agree with that, Joe?
Don't get me started.
Oh man, don't get me started. We're not going to get to where we're going if we go there.
Don't get me started. Yeah. I would say I can't judge another person's heart, and I hope that she does pray, but.
No way.
She
lies through her teeth.
But she seems to be caught in an awful lot of lies, and I can't stand when she wraps herself in the Constitution. That's what drives me more crazy.
She professes what she professes, but it rings hollow based upon the things she says. And it's remarkable to me that she doesn't recognize it being this great professor she claims to be.
Yes. Well, in the Catholic faith, we call it diabolical disorientation. Wow. So we'll see. Anyway, welcome everybody. We're going to talk tax. That was our little couple minutes of politics, just to wet your whistle. So anyway, Sean wanted to say a few words, and then we're going to have Larry launch the rockets from Alabama.
Now, last week, folks, if you caught us, which I think the majority of you probably did, we did a lengthy section on regulations and how regulations affect statutes that Congress enacts, because Congress is a really busy body. And I mean that in all sincerity. They're busy in that they enact a lot of statutes, but they omit details and they leave those details to regulations. And we spoke about the various types of regulations that there are, particularly in reference to the Internal Revenue Code. Larry covered that in great detail. He discussed not only the regulations and various types of regulations, but also the way they're enacted, why they're enacted, the history of the inaction of the regulations. If you missed that, folks, last week, you have to go back and watch the webinar, because Larry's detailed explanation of the history is so very important to why regulations exist and the importance thereof. Or maybe not. It all depends on the statutes. But in any event, the regulations lead on to various other things. They lead on to the IRS writing things like the Internal Revenue Manual. They lead on to things called delegation of orders, which Larry, I believe, is going to be covering in detail tonight when he finishes up on any aspect of the regulations that we left you folks hanging with. And we did leave you hanging. And we did do it on purpose, because we like to see you back again. And one way we like to see you back is saying, wait a minute, you didn't answer these questions. Well, we're going to give that a shot. So we're going to be discussing not only the follow-ups on the regulations and why they exist and how Congress enacted them, or not Congress, but rather the administrative agencies enacted them based upon congressional statutes, but also how these regulations transform into things called delegation of authority, where these things are published, how and why they are published, so we the people understand what our government is doing. And I can't think of anyone more scholarly in the subject matter than Larry. So Larry, you're on.
Well, we're going to take a slight track a little bit off the beaten path that you've laid out in reference to delegation orders and regulations. But that topic blends in with what I want to talk about tonight, because this gets back down into the foundation And once you get down into that foundation, which is the statutes, then you can see how the commissioners come along and has dealt with interpreting the statutes. And I want to start off, you know, so that people can understand, you know, I'd like to start off with, you know, what the commissioner was looking at in the way of broad statutes that required regulations back when this whole thing got started. And the only way that we can get into that is to start back at the very beginning. But in order to start back at the very beginning, there's a story that needs to be told, and it relates to an argument that was probably one of the first in the tax movement issues that had some wide notoriety, and it was widely promoted. And that issue was the wages are not income issue. Now, Sean, you know, ultimately, what I want to show is as we discuss what is income tonight, there are ultimately, when you get around into the regulations, you know, I think that you can see that the commissioner has made descriptions of what I think are real accurate definitions of income or the gain from salaries and wages, and it's kind of surprising. So with that introductory foundation, I want to kind of start off with this. Joe, you know, here we got, is this the page that deals, oh, this is tax action regulations. Can you back out of this? And I sent you the link, but I want to get back over into, on this taxation page, I want to get back over into the wages or income issue, because that's the foundation, that's the genesis of the presentation I want to give tonight.
Okay. Well, while I'm doing that, or as I'm doing that, I'm going to just show everybody, because it's always good to remember how to get to Larry's website. You can go to a search engine, not Google. We do not recommend Google. We do not like Google. DuckDuckGo or startpage.com are good. Type in Becraft Briefs like that. Hit the search budget button. And you can see there where it comes up. You hit it, and there you are at the Dixieland Law Journal. You can also type in Dixieland Law Journal, and this will come up. All right, Larry, so here
now
we
go. Go down to taxation, Joe. There's that, probably in the middle of the page. There it is. Click on taxation. Now, what is income? That's where I want to go right now to deal with this issue. Now, what you see on the screen, what we're going to be going over tonight is the predecessor definitions of gross income. Now today, and I think Mike had a question about that today, and I want to kind of lead into an answer for a question he was asking me, but let's get into this. Section 61 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, that's the current federal income tax laws are in the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. Subtitle A contains the income tax sections. Section 61 contains the statutory definition of gross income. And in essence, it says gross income means all income from whatever source derived, including but not limited to the following items. And then it starts off and says, you know, compensation for labor or compensation for services. So that's section 61. What we're gonna get into tonight is how did this current code get created? And once you know how the current code got created, then, you know, they're also over in this, hey Joe, let's back out of this. Let's go back over, I'll show another thing on that my website. On the taxation page, old tax acts and regulations, click on that. We're going to be getting later in the presentation, we'll be getting into this. But this page right here, just kind of scroll down the page in a ginger slow fashion, Joe. Go down to the 1913, 1916. See, on this page, you have references to and links to all of the tax acts. Starting in 1913, you have thrown in some cases. It's 1916, you can link to, over to the act itself. And then you also have the regulations. They're linked, you know, say by the time you get down into 1918, you can click on not only the Revenue Act of 1918, but you can get into the regulations. And that's what Sean and I were talking about last week. And you can see that these tax acts have resulted in, you know, the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, Secretary of the Treasury periodically getting together when a new tax act comes out and they write a set of regulations. So when we're talking about regulations and the old tax acts, we're going to be getting into that tonight. And there is a whole page that is devoted to all this. Now, Joe, to get back into specifics about, you know, how we're dealing with this construction of the tax laws, get back out. Let's go back over that page dealing with income. What is income? Now, as I said a minute ago, the current tax code says gross income means all income. And the Supreme Court has come along and has said, in reference to the current description, the current statutory description of gross income, the Supreme Court has said, oh, that reaches the full scope of Congress's taxing powers. Well, the Supreme Court has also said the exact same thing in reference to, Joe can go back to, okay, yeah, okay, you, let's click on section 61. Now move that up. General definition, except as otherwise provided in this subtitle. Gross income means all income from whatever source derived, including but not limited to the following items. Number one, compensation for services, including fees, commissions, fringe benefits, and similar items. Two, gross income derived from business. Three, gains derived from dealings in property, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now most people are gonna come up, ooh, compensation for services. That includes wages and salaries. That's what I make. And I want to, you know, this in this demonstration of what the commissioners published in the way of regulations in the past, we're going to kind of get into that. But Joe, back out of this, and let's go back over to that page dealing with what is income. Where does Section 61 come from? Well, there's a, starting in 1913, 1916, the Congress would have in the tax laws definitions of income, gross income. Now here we have on the screen the 1894. You can read that later. You can go over this page and read it. But Joe, let's move on down the page and get down to 1913. What's on the screen? Okay. Now here's 1913 coming up. Now, in February, on February 25th, Joe's birthday, but it happened to be in the year 1913, the 16th Amendment was declared to have been ratified. Once Congress gets that power, it spends almost the rest of the year until October. In October, it comes out with this tax act that you can link. You know, it's see that 38 stat 114? Joe, click on that and pull it up, and let's just show our listeners what they can see.
Uh-oh. That link's broken, Larry.
It is. Okay. Well, you know, John, I have had him linked to John Rowland's website, and for a while, John Rowland's website went down, and so I shifted the links over. Go, Joe, let's go down the page a little bit and see if we can click on something else.
So you can cut and paste it. You can cut and paste it.
Well, hey, let's click on 40 stat. Wow, I can't believe that.
Joe, just cut and paste it. Just see if you can copy and cut and paste.
Okay, cut and paste the URL.
Well, no, that should be, I don't know why that's, because I've.
Nope.
No, that's hey, that's the website that I was linking to. When John's site went down, that is now back up, and I didn't realize that those links. I think I may have not have uploaded this page after I made the change to the. Oh, gee. Well, that's a project I might have to deal with. Well, then, hey, let's just deal with what we can see on the screen. In 1913, let's deal with the definition that's on the screen. Income defined. Now, the Supreme Court, in addition to having said that Section 61 described the maximum reach of Congress's power to tax income, the Supreme Court has said also the very same thing related to the prior statutory definitions of income. Now, when you see the prior definitions of income, there is a, people have made a connection in the past when they were making the argument about wages and not income. They were building it just solely on Section 61, and they were completely unaware of the fact, because they ignored the historical foundation, they were unaware of the fact that their argument would have been made a whole lot stronger if they had just dug into the history of the income tax. And here's the reason why I say that. Starting in 1913, and you can go, this same definition goes all the way forward. Hey, Joe, let's go down the page. Can we move down to the later tax acts? You know, there's 1918. Let's go down to say like 1928. It'd be section 22. Okay, there's section 22 of the 1928 Act. Gross income includes the gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal service. Now, this is ultimately what becomes the statutory definition of gross income, which is today Section 61. Section 61 is derived from, is based on Section 22 of the 1939 Code. Well, Section 22 of the 39 Code originates from, you know, these other sections that I've got defined, that I've noted on this page. Joe, let's go back to the, what is income page. Now, there's a rule of statutory construction that when you're construing the meaning of words in a statute, every word has its own unique meaning. Now, in this tax act, the thing that we commonly call an income tax, the object of the tax was a tax upon gains, profits, and income. And that was derived from salaries, wages, and compensation for personal services. Now, salaries is a bit different from wages. Wages is a bit different from compensation for services. They have some similarities, but there are also differences. I like to describe salaries as what people are paid when they're working on a time schedule, so to speak, of a week, a month, or a year. They're paid by time periods. A wage is payment for work performed on an hourly basis. Well, then that includes, those two things encompass most of the payments for labor in this country. So what in the world is compensation for personal service? Now, they're all different. Salaries is different from wages. Wages is different from compensation for personal services. Compensation for personal services is different from both salaries and wages. But then let's take a look at this definition. Gains, profits, and income is something, and also entirely different from salaries, wages, and compensation for personal service. Is that obvious? Just using that rule of statutory construction, those words mean something different. And so if the people that were making the argument a long time ago, the wages are not income, if they had simply gone back into and known a little something about the, you know, development, the historical foundation for the income tax, they would have had a whole lot of fodder for their argument. But instead, you know, the people that were running the court, and there are people that even today that like to make that argument, but they're going to be shot down by court cases. Oh, this has already been decided. Well, you know, it's been decided in a way that is incorrect because improper arguments were made.
Larry, let me stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
Why don't you give them a quick synopsis of what court precedent means?
I can remember when this issue was hot in the late 70s and early 80s. Pete Sondland and Bob Golden wrote a book. Sean, you probably remember it. Are You Required? You know, it had a big old 1040 on the front. And it was, the book was printed at a copy shop. They had a spiral binding along. You know, that's the book that you bought, right? Whatever price was being sold, 10 or 15 bucks. But it laid out a very simplistic argument. Oh, gee, you know, what we make by working for a living is not income. It was a real simple, basic argument. Didn't get into the history. And of course, people that were only interested in superficial arguments, they would read that book and reach this conclusion. Oh, this is the entirety of the argument. This is just, I'm convinced. There's nothing more that we need to do. You know, all I have to do is walk into court and tell a judge, hey, the wages are not income. And, you know, of course, and I saw the arguments, the briefs that were submitted back in those days. That's in essence all the argument that these people would make. They had read the book. They might have some idea. They had this concept in their head. Oh, well, wages is something different from income. And that's in essence the totality of the arguments that they would submit to court. And of course, I call that an argument by fiat. You know, the no factual foundation was laid, no historical development, no references to statute, you know, much like we're going to kind of do in the way of a presentation tonight. It was just, you know, they were making an argument by fiat, just by command. And of course, the courts answered that argument that was premised upon just a fiat command. They responded by making a fiat command decision. And they would say, oh, well, of course wages are income. And that's the way that, you know, when you go back and take a look at these cases that are, if you go to court today and make this argument, they're going to throw those cases at you. You can go read those cases. In those cases, you're going to say, without any historical treatment, no discussion, all they just say, oh, well, wages are income. And so both sides, because the proponents of the argument did not make a real good presentation of the issue, they harmed a real good issue. Now, here's the problem that we've got. Section 22, by 19, you had the sections defining gross income that preceded Section 22. By the time you get into 1928, they're developing a new format for the tax laws. And we're going to get beginning into tonight, the thing I want to lay down is to show why everything is connected together. And why everything is connected together then gives reasons for you to, you know, go look at the old stuff. And once you take a look at the old stuff, there's a lot, you know, I have my own idea about what compensation for personal service is. And I agree with the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. And, you know, by looking at the arguments that are just sitting there to be made, when you look into the historical information, you know, you could, there has been a great disservice to the cause of the tax movement. Because people presented arguments in too simplistic a fashion. But Joe, let's kind of go down the page. Here we got the Revenue Act of 1932, see Section 22. It reads the same way. Gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, compensation for personal service. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States in the past has been presented by litigants making arguments based on Section 22 of the, you know, previous tax acts. And the Supreme Court in those cases said, oh, well, hey, look, if you're looking for a real good description of the maximum reach of Congress's power to tax incomes, you will find that maximum reach of Congress's power to tax incomes. It manifests itself in Section 22. Of the previous tax acts. Well, it's true. And when you look at this, using regular old rules of statutory construction, the taxes imposed, well, gains are a little bit different from profits, and profits are a little bit different from income, but the taxes imposed upon gains, profits, and income. But those items, those things, are derived from something entirely different. Salaries, wages, and compensation for personal services, and I'm skipping all the rest of the stuff down here. You know, that's irrelevant for purposes of tonight's discussion. You're just limiting it to the first two lines of this definition of gross income. You can plainly see that salaries and wages and compensation for personal service, they are the sources from which you derive income, something entirely different. And the income derived from those things has to be something that's distinctly separate and apart from the salaries, wages, and compensation for personal service. So says the United States Supreme Court. Now, Joe, let's go down here. I just want to show that Section 22 continued. Section 22 of the Revenue Act of 1934, going down to 36. Revenue Act of 1936. See, you can see it's the same thing. 38, same thing, Section 22. The 39 Code, gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, and compensation for personal service. And then what happened in, and this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, about the structure, you know, the history behind these statutes. And then once we know the history behind the statutes, that is then going to make real important what the commissioner had to say in the way of, hey, Sean, when you get around to compensation for personal services, you know, I think that there was a real good description of compensation for personal services from the Commissioner of Internal Revenue in the past.
Oh, I agree with you, Larry. In fact, yeah. Compensation for personal services, I believe, is a very legalistic term.
Oh, yeah.
Which is defined in the regs.
You
look at it and you see wages and salaries, and then they go to compensation for personal services. My question is this: if compensation for personal services includes wages and salaries, why have they departmentalized them?
Well, you know, once you take this approach to your studies of the tax laws and include the statutes and the regulations, and it's not difficult for you to, if you're dealing with one point, to isolate, you know, everything that relates to that one point in the act, and isolate everything on that one point in the regulations. And then you can put it all together. It'll kind of just flows together. There is a history behind each little specific part of the tax laws, especially in reference to, you know, what is gross income. And, you know, if you dig back into the history, there is a completely different picture that emerges. Now, having said that, you know, I hope that our listeners, here it is, we've devoted 30 minutes to just dealing with a definition of gross income. Now I want to connect it all together in by means of the tax acts. Now, Joe, back out of this and go over to the page that has the old tax acts and regulations. Click on that. Now, this page may have all the links that work. So, Joe, let's go down to the Revenue Act of 1936 or 1918. Let's go down to 1918. Okay, yeah. Okay, now click on the Revenue Act of 1918. Yes, there they are. Okay, now I know that I have some bad links on another page.